I want us to read from Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. And we're beginning to read at verse 36. Matthew 26 and verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Now, folks, I'm going to stop there, because there are preachers who will say, well, in this verse, Jesus was praying that he might avoid the cross. He was praying that God would save him from Calvary. Well, I believe the total opposite. I believe that the Lord Jesus felt as if the devil was going to kill him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the Lord Jesus so desperately wanted to get to the cross to die for you and me. And he's praying here, as it were, Father, don't let me die in the garden. Don't let me die in Gethsemane. I've come into this world to make atonement for those sinners in new buildings. And I want to go to the cross to pay in full the price of their salvation. So Jesus is not trying to wriggle out of the cross here. Don't believe that for a moment that type of teaching is from the pit of hell. Oh, our Lord Jesus wanted. Yes, there was agony and pain ahead, but he still wanted to go to Calvary. And that's why he is loved by millions today across the world. Let's read on. Verse 40 of Matthew 26. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me except I drink it, thy will be done. So the Lord Jesus was really saying, Father, if it's your will that I die in the garden and don't get to the cross, well, even though, Father, I would rather go to the cross and die for sinners, then if it's your will I die in the garden, so be it. He submitted to the Father's will. But of course it was never the Father's will that he die in Gethsemane. Of course it wasn't. From all eternity past, it had been the Father's will that he go to Golgotha and lay down his life for you and for me. Well, we'll not make any more comments. We better read on to the rest of the section. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. On Thursday night, we spoke on the text, Galatians 2:20, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And those of you who were there, you will know that we referred to the different parts of our Saviour's body that he gave for us in order that we might be redeemed. And we spoke about his head crowned with thorns and his shoulders and his side. And we spoke about his hands and his feet and his precious blood and how Jesus gave his entire body on the cross that we might be saved. Those of you who weren't able to make it on Thursday night, you can pick up the message on sermon audio, for it's uploaded to the church website. But today I want us to think about the soul of our Saviour. Thursday night was dealing with the body of our Saviour and his bodily sufferings, but today it's his soul, the sufferings of his soul. And my, how he did suffer in his soul in order that we might be saved. Some years ago, we thought about Isaiah chapter 53. And you have the great verses there at the end of that chapter that speak of his soul, the soul of the Messiah, and the suffering of his soul. And it speaks there in verse 11 of the travail of his soul. The travail of his soul. That word travail, of course, it refers to labor pains. The pains of the mother in childbirth. Obviously, I know nothing about it. But you mummies in the service today, you know all about it. The pain. The agony. And I'm sure that you would tell me today it wasn't pleasant. Oh, the agony of our Saviour. Yes, in his body. But Isaiah is speaking about the agony and the anguish of his soul. That's why I chose that hymn about the shepherd going after the sheep. None of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, or how dark was the night the Lord passed through ere he found the sheep that was lost. None of us who are saved truly can take it in. We will never take it in this side of heaven. What our Saviour went through in order for us to be saved. There are many people who focus on his physical sufferings. And you'll find that even Hollywood will produce films and movies that deal with his physical sufferings. For example, Passion of the Christ. You remember some years ago that Mel Gibson starred in that film, The Passion of the Christ. I was in Ballysillan at the time. And I remember taking that as the subject one Sunday evening and getting the leaflets out around the area. And the title on the leaflet was, Why I Am Not So Passionate About the Passion of the Christ. And we went into the reasons why we weren't so passionate about it. It was basically a propaganda machine for the Roman Catholic Church. A lot of popery in that film. You know, every day during the filming of that movie, they said the Mass in Latin. But another problem I had with it was that it dealt only with the physical sufferings of Christ. It focused only on his bodily sufferings. Dear friends, if Jesus had just suffered physically for us, then we could never be saved. It was the suffering of his soul that really brought salvation to us and removed the guilt of sin from us. And that's what Isaiah the prophet spoke about. The travail of his soul. Well, we've read Matthew chapter 26 today. This is the New Testament reference to his soul and to the sufferings of his soul. And our text for the remaining moments is verse 38, I should say. Matthew 26, verse 38. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. The Lord Jesus here has come to the Garden of Gethsemane. And numbers have dwindled. I want you to get this today, folks. It's a very important point I'm about to make. Whenever he began his ministry, the crowds followed him. Everywhere he went, multitudes followed him. But then one day he preached a sermon about the bread. You remember John chapter 6. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And at the end of that sermon, he lost 99% of his followers. So he started off with the crowds, with the multitudes, but now he's left with 1% of them. It's just a small number. Even his followers in John chapter 6, they say, this is a hard saying, who can receive it? And they followed him no more. And of course, Jesus turns and he says to the 12, will ye also go away? Peter, of course, gives the best answer he could have given. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. In other words, what Peter was saying, and folks, to note, Peter made many a hash, but sure, we all make many a hash along the way, don't we? But even in spite of his hashes, there were times whenever, in spite of his mistakes, that Peter said some very impertinent things and made some very wise statements. See, Peter was more or less saying, Lord Jesus, you're the only Savior. Who else can we go to? Nobody else can save, only you. And by the end of that day in John chapter 6, Jesus had lost the most of his followers. Must be doing something wrong. He'll have to try something new. Jesus, you need a gimmick. Jesus, you need entertainment. Well, Jesus didn't touch the gimmicks. He didn't bother with entertainment. He wasn't, you see, interested in tickling people's ears and giving them a good time. A lot of churches today seem to be only concerned with giving people a good time. Oh, we'll have to bring something into the church and the people go away saying, boy, what a great time. We enjoyed ourselves. It's not the way it ought to be. Now, fast forward, you come here to Matthew 26, to the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus is left now with 11. That's his congregation. You see, he's got 12, of course, 12 disciples, but Judas, he's the traitor, and he's gone to the chief priests, and he's on his way with the chief priests and the mob to the garden. So there's only 11 with Jesus. And then Jesus leaves 8 of them at the gate of the Garden of Gethsemane. And he takes the 3 with him, Peter, James and John. That's a small congregation. He's down to 3 now. The numbers have dwindled. What was he doing wrong? Absolutely nothing. Folks, sometimes in the life of the church, as we take our stand for the Lord, we will find that numbers dwindle. But don't be alarmed by it. Let the numbers dwindle. As long as you've got the smile of God upon you as a church, as long as you've got God's approval, doesn't matter whether you have the community's approval. So don't be bothered about the numbers. Sure, what does it matter how few are here as long as Jesus is here? Well, then there's people who, oh, Jesus isn't much of an attraction to them. How sad. They need something more, something else. Well, back to Matthew 26. I want you to just come with me now through these words, the words of the Lord Jesus. My soul is exceeding sorrowful. It's not his body now he's talking about. Oh, there's going to be bodily suffering, but he's speaking about his soul. You see, folks, Jesus is saying that there's like a great sea of sorrow has flooded in upon his holy soul here. And this sorrow is caused by my sin and your sin. The Father in heaven is beginning to lay our sins upon the Holy Lamb of God. And his soul is exceeding sorrowful. And he says, even unto death. What that literally means is that Jesus is at death's door. He's about to die of a broken heart. Even unto death. Jesus is being crushed here in Gethsemane. Not physically, but spiritually. His soul, his holy soul, his sinless, spotless soul is being crushed for you and for me. We're back to Isaiah 53:11, the travail of his soul. His unknown sufferings. His invisible sufferings that have brought redemption to us. And now Jesus says, tarry ye here and watch with me. Tarry ye here and watch with me. The word tarry there, of course, it means wait. Wait. It's an old English word that we can define as wait. Wait here. Wait with me. Spend this short time with me. My soul is suffering great agony now because of your sins. Please wait with me. Stay with me. Of course, the reason I believe why Jesus is saying these words is because his humanity is coming to the fore now. He was a real man, a real person, and he wants company. You know how we like company. Over the Christmas period, we've enjoyed the company of other people, and there's something nice and something warm about it and heartening about it, isn't there? That's why we love to have people visit in our homes at the festive season, and we love to visit other people in their homes. Well, here's the real man, a real person, our Savior, and he wants the comfort of other people's company. Now, here's the crux of it. Here's the point I really want to make. He wasn't asking them to do very much. Tarry ye here. Just wait here for this short time. Jesus wasn't asking them to swim the ocean. He wasn't asking them to climb the mountain. He wasn't asking them to do anything that was impossible or out of the ordinary. He just asked them to do something that's very simple. And it really wasn't very much. Time is nearly up. But let me just say, folks, this morning the Lord Jesus is asking us to do something, and it's not very much. Jesus is saying to us this morning, to those of us who are saved, tarry ye here. Tarry at the table. He's not asking very much. But the question is, are we prepared to do it? Will we tarry with him? I know that there are those of you right now who are saying, I will tarry with him. There is no place I would rather be than at his table because of what his soul went through for me. because his soul was exceeding sorrowful even unto death. And you're saying right now, believer, in your heart of hearts, I will tarry with him. But then it is possible that there are those in the service today and you're saying in your heart of hearts, I cannot tarry with him. I cannot stay for communion today because I am not a Christian. I have never been born again. I am not saved. Well, I want to encourage you on the first Sunday morning of the new year by telling you that you can be saved, you can be forgiven, you can become a Christian. And you know, friend, it's all because of what the soul of Jesus went through for you. It's all because of what the Lord Jesus, our wonderful Redeemer, endured for you in Gethsemane and at the cross. And there is no reason for you to hesitate all your life long and to say, I cannot tarry at the table with him. Bless God, you can receive the Savior even now as you sit in your as you sit in the pew. All because of his suffering. The hymn writer said, just suppose God searched through heaven and couldn't find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed that would buy eternal life for you and me. Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. You see, we have been thinking today about his soul, the holy soul of the Lamb of God. His soul. Or as he says himself here, my soul. Matthew 26, my soul. But let me ask you as I finish today, what about your soul? Oh, it's not his soul now, it's your soul. To lose one's wealth is sad indeed. To lose one's health is more. To lose one's soul is such a loss that no man can restore. The Lord Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?